Okay, 1 John chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. Some really helpful verses here tonight. We're going to be talking about reflecting God's love. Reflecting God's love. 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God, Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Reflections. You know, if you go out in the countryside and you see the reflections of a lake. Reflections of a lake can be awesome, especially if the lake is perfectly smooth. The reflections can be almost identical to the background scenery, and it's beautiful. And we've seen those things and enjoy those reflections. Spiritually, God wants us to reflect Him. He wants us to reflect His love. And as we think about that, reflecting God's love, it's allowing God to shine through us that others can see. We think of the moon when we think of reflections. The moon has absolutely no light in and of itself. It is simply a mirror. It reflects the sun. And so the reflection of the sun shining on the moon shines so radiantly at nighttime, sometimes it's a full moon, it's almost as clear as an early dawn. It's beautiful outside. It's amazing. Only because of reflection. And God wants us as Christians to reflect His love in the world around us, especially among our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the greatest evidence of God's love is the fact that He laid down His life for us. And God's Son gave His life, and God's love is for us was not a selfish love, seeking only what He can get from us. Wasn't that kind of love? It wasn't even a family love that cherishes because of the natural ties. You know, we all have family members that we love because they're our family. And it wasn't even a friendly love that enjoys our companionship, although God does have that kind of a love toward us. But God's love is a self-giving love that gives without expecting or demanding repayment. And it is a love that gives to the unlovable. It's not easy to love the unlovable, but God does. And God also loves those who even reject it. That's really hard. To love someone that spits back at you and doesn't want your love, that's hard. That's hard. And yet God loves us. And how many times have we rejected Him? And He loves us. And God's love, He loves us simply because God is love. God is love. That's hard for us to comprehend. Without God, there would be no love. God is love. He is the source of love. He is the very core of love. And He chooses to love us. That's amazing. That familiar verse in Romans 5, verse 8. But God committed His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loved me and died for me. And He loved you and died for you. Lovingly, Christ laid down His life for us. Voluntarily, he bore our sins and died to rescue us from hell that we deserve. And now, he wants us to abide in close fellowship with him that we might reflect his love. And as we think about that, he loved me so much that he died for me, and now he says, I want you to reflect that same kind of love to other Christians. And that's why he told his disciples before he left for heaven that he gave them that new commandment that they would love one another as he had loved them. Love one another. And tonight, if we are abiding in fellowship with God, we will reflect God's love in three different ways. And I want to show you that from the passage here tonight. Three ways in which we will reflect God's love if we are abiding in close fellowship with God. Number one, if we're abiding in fellowship with God, we will reflect God's love by laying down our lives for the brethren. Look at verse 16. Hereby we perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So God's saying here that if we are abiding in him, we're staying close to him, we ought to reflect God's love by laying down our lives for the brethren. Now, we understand what he did for us. He loved us though we were unworthy of that love. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We were the ungodly, and he died for us. He initiated his love for us. 1 John 4:19, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. It wasn't that I got some great idea of loving God all of a sudden. It was God loved me, and therefore I see how he loved me, and I need to love him back because of what he did for me. We can never repay his love. It isn't something that we earn. He gives it to us of his own choice and does not require being repaid. He loves us even when we fail him. I'm glad he does. If he didn't love us when we fail him, we'd all be in trouble. But remember that verse over in Hebrews 13:5, one that we need to cling to. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. And he says, that's all we need. We don't need all the things of this world. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't covet the things of this world. We don't need the things of this world. Nothing in this world can satisfy, and God meets all of our needs. He is the only one that can satisfy. And so he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then as God's children, we must love the same way he does in practical ways. He said we're to lay down our lives for the brethren. Lay down our lives. And though we may never be required to actually die for one another, we need to sacrificially share with one another. You know, sometimes we get this idea, well, I hope I would die for my brother in Christ. It's easy to talk about it. But what he's asking us to do in reality is to just on a daily basis share with each other and care for each other and be concerned for each other and pray for one another and minister to one another. We need to lay down our lives in practical ways. It reminds me of a husband that said to his wife, you know, he says, I love you so much, I'd die for you. However, in his actions, he did not love her enough to help her wash the dishes or fix the leaky tap or watch the kids so she could take a needed nap or even to praise her and thank her for her all the things that she did for him. So, and you know, it was easy to say, I love you so much I'd die for you, but don't make me do anything for you. And God's saying here that love needs to be practical and we need to have a practical love for one another. Lay down our lives for one another. Be a service to each other. Sacrifice for each other. And if we have this world's goods, and we all have lots of that, You know, notice there he said in verse 17, whoso had this world's good, we all have lots. You know, if you've never been to a third world country, it would bless your heart to do it sometime. Be among people that have nothing. You know, it still amazes me. I think back to some of the people we knew in Papua New Guinea. They could take every single thing that they owned and put it in a backpack and carry it away. Everything. I mean, they usually had only, you know, one change of clothes or maybe a couple shirts or, you know, they didn't have hardly anything. All of their belongings, they could pick up and carry. And we've got so much. Far too much. And God says if we have this world's goods, we need to be willing to share. And God will bless us as we do. And he says, when you see a Christian brother in need, we ought to sacrifice to help them. Maybe our spouse. We talk about need. It isn't always they need food or clothing. They may need help. They may need a hand. They may need some encouragement. It may be our child that needs some one-on-one time with us. And we're too busy. Don't have time. I don't want to take time. Or that's boring. I don't enjoy that. And I'm preaching to myself. I remember different times when the kids would want to play some silly game and I'm thinking, I don't want to play that game. And I look back now and I said, I wish I would have played the game. It may be a Christian that just needs a ride to the store. Some simple thing that we could do. But helping each other. Sacrificing for each other. He said we're to lay down our lives for the brethren. And in a literal sense, be willing to die for one another. But in a practical sense, just being a help to them in the meantime. And so we need to reach out to each other. And I'm preaching it myself as much as anybody else. I need to reach out. We all need to reach out. And if we shut up our bowels of compassion, the word bowels refers to our heart. It's just one of those terms that, you know, how you describe your inner feelings, the place where you store up your inner feelings, your bowels, your heart, your insides. And he says, if we shut up our heart of compassion toward a needy brother, we're not reflecting God's love. Because God always did and always does. We come to God with a need, and God doesn't say, I'm tired of meeting your needs. I've helped you a whole bunch of times. I'm not going to do it. I'm on break today. Give me a break. God never does that to us. God is always there to be a blessing to us and a help to us and an encouragement to us, and He's always there. Remember what James said in James chapter 2, verses 15 to 16? James says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So here comes somebody that says, I have a need. You know, you see this person is naked or destitute of daily food. They're hungry. They need clothes. And they come. We know that to be true. And we say, God bless you. It'll be okay. And we don't do anything to help them. They go away still hungry and still needing clothes. So in other words, we need to reach in a practical way. God wants us to love in a practical way. And if we are not abiding in fellowship with God as we should, if we're not doing this. Because the closer, you know, when we're close to God, we're going to reflect God. So the closer we are to the Lord, the more we're going to reflect His love to others. And the more I am near to Him, the more I'm going to recognize His love for me, and the more easily I'm going to reflect His love to others. And so the whole of 1 John is all about fellowshipping with God, staying close to God. And here in this section, John's saying, you know, we need to stay close to God so that we can reflect His love. Second, if we are abiding in fellowship with God, we will reflect God's love not only by laying down our life for one another, but by loving the brethren in deed and in truth. Verses 18 to 21. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What is he saying there? We're not to love just verbally, it is to be visibly. It isn't just something we say, it is something we do. And anyone can love in word and tongue. You just say, oh, I love you, I love you, you know, I love you, I love you. But if we don't act it, it means nothing. If we do nothing with that, it's just empty words. And God wants us to act upon it. You know, it reminds me of if you have a pet at home. Many of you have pets. If you have a pet, your pet, you know that love must be visible and not just verbal with your pet. I mean, if you walk up to your pet and say, I love you, they're not going to go, oh, that was awesome. What do they want? They want something tangible. They want your touch. You know, you pet them. They know they want your attitude to be nice to them. They want your actions to be nice to them. They want your kindness rather than just words you say. You may say loving things to them, but if you treat them harshly, they're not going to be like happy with you. It reminds me, years ago, we used to tease our dog. She'd look at us and we'd say, you... And it was all the tone of voice. You know, talk to her and say, you are a lousy, worthless, no good, terrible dog. I hate you. And she's wagging her tail, licking you. But you could say, I love you. I love you. They go running high. So it's all a matter of the tone. Okay? So it isn't, they don't really understand our words as much as they understand our tone and our actions. And so it is. God says that we are to love both in deed and in truth, not just in what we say. And John's reminding us here that reflecting God's love, we must do it in deed and in truth. Charles Spurgeon said, he says, love that consists only of words is utterly worthless. If it is true love, it must prove itself by kind deeds and gracious actions. And that's what he's talking about here. Loving indeed is loving with helpful actions, meeting others' needs. It's showing care. It is sharing. It's the active things that we do. You know, even in your own marriage, if you're married, you know, the acting things of love are the things that we actually do to be a blessing to our spouse. To be, show our love and appreciation for them. It isn't just our words. And I believe Sean gave a good illustration of this the other day in his message when he talked about that bundle of roses and telling his wife about how, you know, how much it cost him and how valuable these things were and how, you know, aren't you blessed that I brought the, you know, and he talks about, and he wrecked the whole thing. He gave her roses, but it was worthless to her because of the whole attitude behind it. And so we need to have an attitude of love that is showing in deeds. And he says to love in truth. Now, what would it mean to love in truth? Well, as I pondered over that, loving in truth is to love in a true and sincere way. To love with a true and sincere heart. So that it really comes from deep down inside. And we can genuinely love someone. You know, it's one thing to try to be a help to someone because you feel obligated to and you did your job. It's another thing to do it because I really care. I really want to. And to love in deed and in truth is not just doing the right thing, but it's doing it from the heart, doing it in the right way. A wise person penned these words. He said, I love thee, and thou dost, that thou dost know, but how much I love thee, my actions will show. And that's what Christ is talking about here. He says, we need to love with our actions. Let it be seen. Let others see that we have a love. Visible love gives evidence of our fellowship with God. As, remember, we're reflecting the Lord, and the closer we get to the reflection, the more He shines forth. It's like a campfire. You know, you all like camping, you go camping, you build this nice campfire, and if you put your chair way on the other side, you know, way over here, and you say, oh, I'm trying to keep warm by the fire. You're not going to keep warm by the fire. But what happens? The closer you get to the fire, the warmer it gets. If you get too close, you get too warm. All right? And the same thing is true with reflection, reflecting Christ. The closer we are to Christ, the more we're going to reflect His light because we're close to Him. And so John is saying, stay close to God so that you can reflect Him. When we love in truth visibly, we can know that we are of the truth. Verse 19, he says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So this assures our hearts that our actions are reflecting God's love because we are abiding in fellowship with God. We're staying close to God and we are acting like He wants us to. We're reflecting His love. We're sharing love with others. And we have confidence in our heart that we're close to God because we're doing this. In our heart here, again, he's talking about our inner spirit, that inner conscience. And so when he says here that our hearts, we assure our hearts before Him. And then verse 20, he says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You know, remember what how Solomon described our heart in Proverbs? He described our heart as the candle of the Lord. Right? And he's talking of the inner conscience. And in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, he says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Our conscience. Our conscience. The heart here refers to our inner spirit or our conscience. And when he says, if our heart condemns us, or our conscience condemns us, that candle of the Lord that's in our inside of us, God uses that to light it up. You know, remember back in Bible days when they didn't have a light switch, they can flip on this light switch and the whole room turns light. They'd light the candle or light the lamp. And if you were to look for things, remember the story that Jesus told in Luke 15 of the woman that lost one of her coins that she kept in her turban. And so she was looking all through the house. She lit the lamp and she was going through the house looking for her coin. Sweeping the house, looking diligently for her coin. And when they did that, they would, you know, you would get down close and get close, maybe even on your hands and knees and put the light down looking around. And we've done that too. When you're searching for something in the dark and all you have is a little torch, you're on your hands and knees looking. Where did that go? I can't find it. And we're looking diligently. And God says here that our spirit, our conscience in us, God uses as the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. In other words, he's searching us and examining us, and he uses our conscience to help us to know where we stand before him. And if our conscience, if our heart condemns us, or our conscience condemns us, saying that we are not loving in word and deed and in truth, it is because God's Spirit knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And he knows that, and he's convicting us. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. And you know, as I was preparing this message, God was working in my heart and reminding me, you know, I need to love with deed and in truth, not just go through the motions. And it's a good reminder to all of us in this. And this conscience reminds us of this. If we were to think of a verse in the New Testament, we talked about it even here tonight in our quiz time, that talks about how that the Lord searches our hearts and knows those inner parts of our hearts. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Where he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows my thoughts. God knows my intents. God knows why I did it. He knows my motives. He knows if I loved in a right way, or whether I was just going through the motions, or whether I was trying to be seen of men so that they can see me, and so I'm making a big deal about my love gift I'm giving so that they can see that. What's my motives? And God knows that. And he sees our heart. He says if our heart condemns us, he says God's greater than our heart. And where are we here? In verse number 20, God, he is greater than our heart and he knows all things. It's because God working in our hearts is showing us, listen, we're not doing right. But then in verse number 21, he says, beloved, but if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. Now, this is a significant verse, and I encourage you to write a little note in the margin here. The word confidence there, it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. You look up that little word confidence, and what it means is this. It means freedom to speak. Freedom to speak. That's significant when you look at the next verse. The next verse he says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. All right? So he's saying, if my heart doesn't condemn me, I have freedom to talk to God. I have freedom to communicate with God. We're on good, close terms. We're in sweet fellowship. We're in harmony. We're staying close to each other. And so I have that confidence, or I have that freedom to speak to God and bring my request to him and communicate with him. So we've looked at first two reasons why that we need to reflect God's love by, first of all, laying down our lives. Secondly, by loving the brethren in deed and in truth. Thirdly, we reflect God's love by obeying and pleasing God. Verses 22 and 20 to 24. By obeying and pleasing God. Verse 22 there says, and whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, obeying and doing right, God says here, unlocks prayer. You know, there's sometimes we get frustrated and think, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Well, sometimes God does answer and he says no. And we shouldn't get upset if God says no, because God knows better than we do. Sometimes some of the things I've prayed for, if God would have given to me, I would have been in big trouble. Right? God knows what's right. But other times God doesn't answer our prayer because we're not on praying terms. We're not really close to him. He promises here, in the context, if I am in close fellowship with God, and I'm reflecting his love, and I'm loving one another in deed and in truth, then God says, I can ask what I will, and he will give it to me. Now, that's a pretty big promise. I can ask whatever I want, and he'll give it to me. This is what unlocks prayer. John says there's two actions here that do this. And he says there are two. First of all, he says in verse 22, because we keep his commandments. And second, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So he said, if we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and then we ask ourselves, what commandments? Well, he answers that in the next verse. Look at 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. All right, so the two commandments he's mentioning here is to believe on Christ. So in other words, we need to be a Christian, genuine Christian, and he says we need to love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, I've asked myself, and I haven't really come up with a full answer for this, and maybe if you have an answer, you can come talk to me afterwards. It makes me wonder sometimes, why did God put such a huge premium on loving one another? I mean, that's important. It's a good thing to do. But why did he, of all the things he left with his disciples before he went to heaven, he says, a new commandment I've given to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, yes, that's important. And I'm not belittling that, but I still wonder sometimes. I mean, he could have chosen a lot of other things to say. Why did he say that? He must have known that we need each other's support. He knew that the Christians were going to go through persecution. They were going to go through difficulty. They were going to go through hardship. Many of them were going to die for the cause of Christ. And they need each other's support. They need each other's love. They needed to be bonded together. And though we're not experiencing yet that kind of persecution in our day, we still need that bond with one another. And many times that is lacking. Many times that's not always there like it should be. And I don't know exactly why he chose that above all other things, but he knows that we need that love. We need love for each other, and we need the love of each other. And Jesus said here that we were to keep these commandments. And if we did that, we'd be staying close to him and abiding in him, and he would answer our prayers. Now, when we do those two actions, know Christ and love the brothers, then he said that whatever we ask, we'll receive of him. How can that be? How can that be? Anything that I'll ask, I'll receive of him. These two things enable us to have fellowship with God and abide close to God, and that is absolutely essential to have answered prayers. See, think with me now. You got to think a little bit to catch this. Jesus said basically the same thing in John 15, verse 7. John 15, 7, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now the key there was to abide in Christ, and you ask whatever you will, and I will give it to you. Now, when we are in fellowship with God, our thoughts will be in harmony with His thoughts. So if I'm really in close fellowship with the Lord, and we're one in thought and desire and passion, and our fellowship is close, then whatever He desires, I will desire. And I will not desire anything that He won't desire. Because I'm not going to want anything that's going to hurt Him or dishonor Him or disgrace Him. So I will only want what honors Him. And in that situation, when I'm that close to the Lord and I'm walking in harmony with Him, the only thing I will dare to ask of Him is things that I know would please Him. And therefore, He will answer those prayers. And that's why this is not just a blanket prayer to just, you know, come to God and to ask for anything you want. All right, like a big, you know, a genie wishing over a genie, you know, give me $1 million. It isn't that. It isn't that at all. It's, He says, when we are abiding in Christ, we're walking close to Him, we're reflecting His love to others, and we're obeying His commandment to love one another and to know Him as our Savior, and we're staying in close, sweet fellowship with Him, we will want what He wants, and we will ask only for what He wants, and He will answer those prayers. And He says here, keeping these commandments enables us then to abide in Christ. Look at verse 24. "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that we abide in, He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." All right, so when we keep His commandments, we do what He's asked us to do, we walk close to Him, we stay in fellowship with Him, we are abiding in Him and He's abiding in us. We're in sweet fellowship. And then in that position, we're reflecting Him like we should. He will answer our prayers. He will meet our needs, and He will bless us. And He gives us His Spirit. The Spirit of God living in us gives us that peace we talked about up in verses 19 to 21 of how our heart will not condemn us because we're in sweet fellowship with the Lord. It all works in harmony. It's all fit together like a jigsaw. And it all works together for God's glory. Now, we ask ourselves a question tonight. How well are we reflecting God's love? I had asked myself that this week as I worked through this message. Sometimes I don't reflect His love as like I should. Are we sacrificing for other Christians? Whether they be family or our church family, either way, do we love in deed and in truth with actions and also right motives? Are we obeying and pleasing God and receiving answers to our prayers? See, all of these things are focusing around one thought. I need to be in fellowship with God. I need to be in close, abiding fellowship with Him. And if I am, I'll reflect His love. If I am, I'm going to have peace in my heart that I'm doing the right thing. If I am, I'm going to get my prayers answered. That's where we want to be. That's where all of us want to be. But it takes work. It takes work to stay in this close communion with God and to keep sin out of our life and have a right attitude that loves God. And the only way that we can do that is that the more we spend time with Him on our knees and in prayer and in searching the Scriptures and asking God to teach us and reveal Himself to us and cleanse us and draw us close to Him. It's a daily challenge. But it's available to all of us who know Christ. And it can be ours if we will allow Him. And so we ask ourselves, if we're not reflecting God's love, is there a sin that we need to confess? Is there a change that I need to make? Is my mirror dirty and I need to get clean and scrub clean so I can reflect Christ? What is it that's hindering? Me or you? From having that kind of love that Christ wants us to have and reflecting that love. And so I challenge you tonight to just do some heart searching and ask God to examine you and just evaluate your reflection. How well are we reflecting Christ? If we've got some work to do, let's do it.